Welcome to a special edition of the crazy world of YouTube. And God, has it got crazy over the last few weeks. Okay, after the recent outburst, I would say, by a lot of these channels, I decided to go back through a diary that I keep. And I've kept one every year for the last 10 years. And in the diaries over the last 2 years, I can give you a rundown of how things have developed on this platform, YouTube, since 2020. And to be honest, going back through it, it makes for really interesting reading. And the problems for me started back in January 2020 when I went on to a Scottish podcaster's channel, very big in the UK. Not going to say any names tonight because if I do, then, you know, the video could get, you know, hit with privacy or defamation or whatever. So I'm going to keep this relatively name free. I did this big podcast. And it went really well, went viral. It's still up there to this day, talking about my life and obviously my involvement with various, you know, different books that I've written on crime, etc. That clearly was always going to provoke a reaction. Following on from that, I did a podcast with a Liverpool-based podcaster. Again, very big in numbers, following in the same vein. As well as me doing it, Stephen Sayers did a podcast with both of these podcasters as well. That ruffled the feathers, clearly, of somebody who was also on the YouTube community, who was at that time making a few videos about me and about the Sayers family. So that's where this, I guess, all starts. Also, in that early part of 2020, there was a fallout between Brian and Emma, who I've got to know quite well, and another local author. And that fallout was over a book. That particular book then didn't come out, and they approached me to do that book. So I maintained the friendship with the other author, although I know they weren't happy about me bringing that book out. And I went on and said to Brian and Emma that I would do the book for them. So that is all happening in this early part of 2020, January, February, and March. Coming into the summer, early part of the summer, looking through the diary, Decker then gets involved. Now, he's got his own podcast channel. He's building it at this point, and the numbers are starting to grow. So he decides to interview the man in the shed. And that's of interest to me because I know that this particular podcast, Decker's podcast, is going to get decent numbers. At the time, it was building, as I say, I can't remember what the exact numbers were at that period of time, but it was building up numbers. And I was interested in what this was going to, you know, going to say. You know, clearly this is going to have a pop at me and I'm going to be interested in that. So I decided to contact Decker. We spoke on Instagram in messages, then voice messages, and then rang each other on there. And he was fairly fair, I would have said, at those initial chats, that he was, you know, willing to get me on and potentially Stephen Sayers onto his show once the man in the shed's interview had, you know, gone out. So as I followed the social media, I got to learn that the interview had been done. Photographs went onto his Instagram, and there was videos then going onto the man in the shed's channel to say that the interview had gone well, and that the initial interview had gone well, and that he'd made a good friendship with Decker. They got off to a good start and that they were going to make a lot of content together. So I put a request in, reading the diary here, that I wanted to possibly look at the interview that was done prior to it going out. I was given permission by Decker to do that. And it is this point that I was introduced to his now ex-business partner. Now, his ex-business partner, again, I won't name him, but seemed to be very amicable, seemed to be a nice guy. And was quite happy to give us the opportunity to view the footage, as was Declan. So we get the footage, it's emailed to me, and I then sit and watch the footage with Stephen. We then put a message out, essentially on social media, to say that we've seen it, which of course causes pandemonium in the shed. And subsequently, because of that, there is then a fallout between Decker and the man in the shed. Now, the ex-business partner then speaks to me. We chat about things. Great relationship with him, to be honest. And I guess the only strange thing I found about him was that there was never a phone number for him. I could only ever ring him on WhatsApp. But other than that, got on well with him. And he was also connected to somebody else who I knew down in London. Now, the guy who I knew in London, and I'm not speaking out of turn here because I've said exactly the same to this guy's face, I always felt that this guy was probably a policeman. Don't ask us why. I've just always felt that this guy was a policeman. And I've said this to him. He denies it, of course, and he says he's not, but I've always felt he is. So I'll leave that particular thought with you. At this point as well in the diary, I'm then talking about Humble Dryer. Now, he introduced himself to me via a third party, somebody who I know in the Northeast. Very friendly guy. Get to speak to, you know, him on the phone. And what I'll say about him is that he's, again, very friendly, very amicable, but he made it quite clear that he was just following the situation with Decker with, you know, his eyes open. And he really just wanted to make sure that, you know, I had, you know, had my eyes open with regards to the situation with him. And at this time, there's nothing really coming out about the whole Decker situation. So, other than that contact about Decker, I'm completely unaware of what you know, and how things are going to, you know, move on with that particular situation. The next note that I've got about the YouTube situation in my diary says, countless inboxes on Facebook from a man in York telling me to ignore everything about Decker being a wrong'un and to call him immediately on this number. I won't say the number. Obviously, I've got no idea who this bloke is. I blank him because I don't know him. And the next couple of entries, again, are about this person who is constantly messaging me on Instagram and then trying to message me on Facebook, and it's going into whatever message requests it was in those days. I'm not sure whether it went into spam or message requests, but because I haven't made a note of that. But this person is adamant that he wants to speak to me about Decker, and that this guy, you know, isn't what people are saying that he is. Very defensive of him. And this person comes back up later on in this particular recollection. But my focus at this time, of course, is on, you know, now watching the man in the shed's videos, because he's constantly putting out lies and allegations about me. So it's at this point that he starts upping the ante, putting videos out about me. And as we get towards the end of 2020, I've just put my focus remains on reporting the man in the shed's videos for defamation for his countless lies and allegations. And at this point, I've managed to have 21 videos struck down for defamation. Because in those early days, he was using my name, putting my name out there in the general public. And of course, what he's saying is lies, so it makes it easy to take it down. It's at this point that he decides to use the alias, which he continues to use to this day. So we're going into the next year's diary, 2021. And this is when he, the man in the shed, approaches some other podcasters. He approaches one quite controversial podcaster from America. And then he contacts another guy over here who runs a channel which I'll refer to as THT, which was like a forum, an English forum, and it had a collection of people on there on a regular basis. And he basically asks them to take his side in the confrontation against me. Now, the guy who runs or ran, I guess now, this particular channel, he was quite fair from the off, and he offered to mediate for, you know, me and the man in the shed to go onto his channel and discuss things. So I'm up for that. I'm well up for going onto his channel and doing something and going on with the man in the shed and having a fair open discussion where we chat about things. Of course, that never happens. The man in the shed moves the goalposts. I end up going on THT on my own. And again, I'm going in against a load of people who I don't know. It wasn't all focused on the man in the shed, but I answered all the questions. And I also sent a lot of the paperwork and due diligence, if you like, to one of the people who was actually on that panel. And this particular guy said to me, let's give him the initials TM. He actually said to me, once I'd read through the paperwork and the due diligence, I could see that you're telling the truth. And he was somebody who believed the man in the shed. So that in itself was, for me, felt like a win, you know, and I felt great. You know, we nipped this in the bud, if you like. The ex-business partner and Decker, obviously, who'd shown me the footage and then subsequently the Man in the Shed's podcast goes out on Decker's channel. They then have a fallout, and I don't know at first why they've fallen out. The ex-business partner then rings me to tell me that the reason that they fell out is because there's been a revelation, and the revelation is that, you know, he has heard some accusations and he's done some research into it. He says that he's had, at the time, I had no idea what a Claire's Law or a Sarah's Law was, but he's had these checks done, and that what has come back on these checks is so severe that he can't be working with this person anymore, and he feels deceived, and he feels he's being lied to. So he won't be working with them again, which leaves Decker high and dry with no producer and nobody to help him. So, you know, from my perspective, again, I don't really care because I don't have a friendship or a relationship with this person. The only reason that I'm involved with him at that point is because I was really trying to get a vision of, well, get a view of this Man in the Shed documentary before it went out, which I got. So I don't have a relationship with the guy. I had been pushing before they fell out to try and get myself and Stephen on there, because obviously we would like to have had a right to reply to the stuff that was on that documentary, but we never got a chance to have our say. The next interesting thing in the 2021 diary is that the guy from York, who had contacted me countless times, backing Decker up, has now gone full circle and he's now against Decker. And it's as if everything that he was telling me previous was a lie and that he's now just against the guy. And I notice, because obviously at this time I'm watching the Man in the Shed's videos, this guy's becoming quite prolific in the Man in the Shed's chats. We then have the big fight when we see DC fight Decker, and we have the inevitable build-up, and then we have the fight that goes viral. And at that point in time, Decker's channel has grown now beyond, you know, all belief. He's getting more subscriptions. Lots of people are joining the particular channel. I have a chat with the original, the new film director for the Sears film, and we talk about the fight that's just taken place. And because DC did such a great job in that particular fight, because he suits the particular character that we have in this film, we think that bringing DC into the film is a good move. It's good for him because it gives him an opportunity, but it's also good for us because it means we get a bit of publicity out of the back of the big fight. You know, you have to look at it when you're making a movie like we are. So I offer DC a part in the Sears film and he happily obliges. Job done. Off the back of that fight, I do put a call out to Decker. Now, at this point, his ex-business partner is the only person who really knows what has gone on in the background and the check that he's had. I'm not really aware of what the paperwork and all that means, and nothing has been put out publicly yet about what is on this paperwork. So at the moment, it's only his word, a guy who I don't really know and have never met at this time, whose word I would not take, really, because I don't know what the situation is. So I put an offer out after that fight to interview Decker on my channel. He then comes on, and in this particular note on the day of the interview, I've put, and I'll give the guy initials, BM jumps into the chat and asks to come on and defend Decker. I allow him to do that, but he has no evidence. I believe he was a plant. That's what I've put in the diary. So this guy who came onto that particular show claimed that he was a mental health, a child. He was interested or involved in child protection, and that he had concrete proof that Decker wasn't what some people were saying he was. So basically, I watched that back a couple of times, and I wish I'd held him to account, but I didn't. I let him rabbit on, and it's one of those things. But anyway, that's by the by. I'm just going through this diary just to give you a full understanding of what has happened. So after my appearance on THT, again, I'm introduced to a couple of other potential channels to go on to do the due diligence, to show the paperwork. The man in the shed is constantly going on about paperwork and due diligence. But I decided to knock back the opportunity of going on these others. I've put out everything I want to say, and I don't really feel that I need to do that anymore. Also, in that period of 2021, I did go on a couple of channels, new channels. One was a podcast with a host who was based in Ireland. And the other one was with a guy with the initials PE. So I liaised with both of these guys, and I went on both of the channels. They both seemed okay to me at the time, and I've got that in my notes. Both seem okay. These particular conversations that I had with these people are both still available, I believe, on their channels. The Decker situation got worse towards the back end of the year. The man in the shed was now claiming that he was a CEO with the guy in York who had originally befriended and was supporting Decker, but who was now turning against him. He was now saying that he was the CEO of the Child Protection Unit with this other guy. And again, I've just, there's a little note in there about that particular announcement. I then get an opportunity to speak to a woman who's got a friendship with Decker. And, I suggested on a couple of my videos that she was involved with certain things. And I also suggested that she was involved with the man in the shed. She denied all of this in the phone call that we had. It was quite an amicable phone call. And I've just put a note in that I've removed any videos mentioning this woman on my channel. And that's what I did. So it was an amicable conversation. We had a good laugh about a couple of things, but we left it at that. I won't give that person's initials, but this person is still very much involved in recent developments. I do my second interview with the Liverpool podcaster. And in this one, I'm asked about a historical murder on Tyneside, and I say no comment. Now, the answer is edited and clipped by other channels, which makes me look as if I'm laughing at this particular question. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And that's something that I actually address on the third interview that I've done with a guy, with Davey Glover and with Cookie. After that, the next note I've got is book release. And of course, this is the release of Brian and Emma's book. And I've also put Besieged by Trolls Attacking Me About the Book, and also by those who have an agenda against the Liverpool podcaster. So that period, I received a lot of grief and a lot of abuse on YouTube. And I put it down to the fact that I brought out that book, but also a lot of it was aimed at the Liverpool podcaster. And by this point, I've gone into business with the Liverpool podcaster. And what do I mean by business? Well, I mean that obviously I publish books via my website, badboysbooks.net. But with regards to the spoken word books, audio books, I was offered a deal by the Liverpool podcaster to have the books done by him. And I snapped his hands off. I said, yeah, I will do that. So by this time now, I've gone into business with him in that respect. He also offers to do me Cray book, a book which I've done a couple of times. He offers to rebrand it and to publish that again. I say, that's great. The next note I've got of any note in 2021 is that the woman who had a close friendship with Decker has jumped ship, it seems, and appears on tapes speaking to the police. Another tape appears with Decker speaking to his mother, which is damning. So this is the woman who I'd had that conversation with and who I'd removed the videos about. She has now jumped ship from Decker and she basically has put out these tapes, which, you know, are where Decker's problems really start beginning. And despite him pulling in more and more subscribers, this now has got everybody saying that he's somebody who shouldn't be anywhere near YouTube. The man in the shed, then, is my next note, starts ramping things up on Decker and is trying to tie me into it by making false allegations against me and others. I then make a series of professional replies, and I've put Stephen Sears takes part in two lie detectors and passes with flying colours. And then I put the man in the shed's lie detector is shared with us, which it was by another company, which I dissect on the channel. Again, they're all available on my channel for you to view. As Christmas approaches, I then announce that I'm not going to be doing anything more about the man in the shed. So that was the end of 2021. So that brings us to this year, early 2022. So the campaign against Decker's dragging on. My good friend, John from Jab, then introduces me to two guys, Dean and Dougie, and asks me to support 3D Fight Club, which I can't because at the time I'm still down as a professional boxing promoter and a professional boxing manager. But what I do say is that I will attend. I'm happy to share the posts on social media. And you know, I'll pop down to the show when it takes place. Unfortunately, John then passes away and I attended the funeral. I do go to 3D Fight Club, which, you know, is March, and I meet a few of the YouTubers. I meet a couple of the lads who are obviously fighting. I meet the Scottish podcaster, who I'll refer to as MSB. And at that particular show, I also get in the ring. And I issue a challenge to the man in the shed on behalf of Stephen to appear on the next 3D Fight Club. I'm also introduced at the event by Decker's ex-business partner to a man that I'm going to call RS. I'm aware of this man because he appeared recently making videos about Decker and was also featured on tapes released on Decker. So that's a guy called RS. The week after 3D Fight Club, I've just put that the guy from York responds by phone to Dougie and Dean to decline the offer, because Dougie and Dean, after 3D Fight Club, put out a video just repeating the offer to the man in the shed, as they would do, because that's what 3D Fight Club's all about. But the guy, as I say, from York, responds by phone to them to decline the offer. And he cites the fact that the man in the shed has a hernia and that he won't fight Stephen. RS, who I then met at 3D Fight Club, messages me on Facebook, asks me if I'd be interested in collaborating on a new crime podcast, I wasn't convinced, I've got to be perfectly honest, and I do my own show on my own YouTube channel anyway. But I asked him to send us the details. He also informs me that Decker's ex-business partner is involved in the project. I decide not to ring him about this particular project. The guy from York then boasts on a video on the Man in the Sheds channel that he knows where I live. So now we're coming in the spring of 2022. And then 2 days later, my neighbours tell us that there's been a strange man looking for me. They give us a description. They give us the type of car and the registration. The CCTV check reveals that the person, give us the person's ID, but the footage that I've got is then logged and backed up. I don't report it. March to May this year, I'm then subjected to daily attacks by the man in the shed and the guy from York, which I don't respond to. I've got an independent observer who watches and downloads the relevant clips and keeps them for a rainy day. But obviously, if there's anything that I need to report, then this person, lets me know, and I do that. A couple of weeks ago, my home address is then doxed online by the guy from York, which puts my family under threat, and the footage is logged and backed up. Decker's channel then is frozen and hit with multiple copyright strikes. And in May, my mum passes away after a 3-month illness. 2 weeks after my mum passes away, I received a tirade of abuse from the guy from York about me mother as I appear on another channel on YouTube. This particular outburst goes viral. The guy from York then claims that I've asked someone to threaten him, which I haven't. But once again, I download the videos where he accuses me of this, and I back them up for that rainy day. A channel then appears on YouTube which seems as if it's ready to out some of the platforms which not only are causing me grief but also causing a lot of people some headaches. And to be honest, watching him, he's a breath of fresh air. I'm then contacted by a 26-year-old man whose initials of his channel I'll give a CT. And this is in May 2022. And he claims that the guy from York has asked him to pawn bomb my channel. He then comes back to us and says that he's been threatened with Brian. I do tell him that Brian's a changed man. He's in no fit state to carry out these types of things. But I also, tell him not to worry. And I say that I've got Brian's number and that I'm more than happy to contact him. Now, this guy, as I say, I'll refer to him by his channel initials, which is CT, that, I've got Brian's number, I'll contact him and I'll put them in touch. So that's what I do. I get Brian to ring him, I get his number, and Brian rings him and puts his mind at rest, puts him at ease. The guy, CT, had reached out to us maybe a couple of weeks earlier, simply asking what did I think the result would be between Dean and Decker's fight, and I gave him an answer, and that was it. But it seems from the guy, because he seems very genuine, that the guy from York has been trying to manipulate him to do things against me. The guy, RS, then contacts me on Facebook to tell me that he's editing a video for the guy from York and that his close female friend, and let's just remember, this is the former friend of Decker who I mentioned earlier, that she's taking part in a lie detector test. And this lie detector test has got something to do with Decker or the stuff that has been going on with Decker. RS says that he's disgusted at what the guy from York said regarding me mother, and he now wants nothing to do with him. Now, then I'm in a chat on a channel. We'll give that initial to the channel DD from Liverpool. Never been on the show before, but I decided to watch what was being said after the guy with the initials CT sent me over from watching his channel. Said, "Oh, jump onto there. Let's go and, you know, go and watch this. This guy's got lots to say." So I went over to watch, and I see the girl, or the woman, sorry, in the chat making a comment. So I decided to drop the info that RS had given me into the live chat about that lie detector thing being edited. She clearly saw it, because within a couple of hours, RS had got a verbal rollicking from the guy from York, to the point where they both had an argument, and there was an immediate response, because RS then tried to contact me and ask me what the situation was with regards to, you know, me putting that information out there. And I just said I didn't realize it was a secret, and I left it at that. Then out of the blue, and this has happened in the last couple of days, Decker's former business partner sends me a voice note offering commiserations from my mother, from my mum. I thanked him. I sent him a voice note back. And in the little conversations that we shared backwards and forwards, I mentioned that RS had said that we would be working on a new crime podcast together. Now, the interesting thing about that is he then replies and says that he knows nothing about that, which I find really strange. Really strange. Then rather disturbing information starts to come out about the guy from York and others from other people, because the new account, which I mentioned earlier, which is starting to take YouTube by storm, is suddenly putting out all kinds of stories. Now, the guy from York clearly doesn't like a taste of his own medicine. You've got to remember that he's wrongly accused me of lots of things. And then, lo and behold, he accuses me being behind this new account, which I'm not. I'm sure that guy has mentioned on more than one occasion that I've got nothing to do with him, despite the fact that I've appeared on his channel. The guy from York then gets the channel PE to interview a minor about various accusations, which is rightly condemned. The new channel, which I have nothing to do with, then interviews the mother. So, of course, that has been a lot of debate over the last week on those two issues. And in recent days, the new channel has now created a video on Brian and Emma. And as we've all seen, Brian and Emma have now responded. So I decided to speak to Brian and Emma. I learned some interesting things from the chat. And what have I learned? Well, RS has been to their house on the premise of building their channel and raising their subs with his expertise and tech help. He also tells them that he's visiting me and the man in the shed on the same visit. Now, this is going to help stop all the arguments on YouTube. He then calls the Liverpool-based podcaster on his phone whilst there. Now, this is according to Emma, and appears to be very friendly with him. He leaves. And the interesting thing about this is that he'd never planned to visit me, and he never visited me. Did he visit the man in the shed? Did he plan to visit the man in the shed? I don't know. But he certainly never planned to visit me, and he never visited me on that day. So what do you make of all that? Well, I'm going to give you my view, right? This part of YouTube is dark, it's seedy, and it makes me physically sick and uncomfortable. Decker's interview with a man in the shed caused me to dip my toe in these murky waters, and now I feel like I'm being dragged in. I want absolutely nothing to do with it. Never have done. In the past, I've tried to ignore it. I've tried to fight fire with fire, and neither strategy's really worked. Personally, I think the gulf left by Decker, who has been the biggest talking point for months on end, has left people struggling to make content and to stay relevant. And I think they're all now turning on each other, and I just don't want to be any part of it. Last night, I removed most of the above mentioned from my social media, and I blocked some of them from my life altogether, i.e. blocked the numbers on my phone, even those who are connected with those people. I've just gone through the friends list, particularly on Facebook, Instagram, and I've just taken them off because you can't trust any of these people. You can't rely on any of them. And there seems to be this constant merry-go-round of screenshotting and passing on information. And I've got better things to be doing. On my channel, I'm going to continue to do my shows on football. I'll continue to do the weekly true crime podcast, and I'll continue to do the news podcast. But this is going to be my last word on YouTube events. I'm going to have to continue to have channels such as The Man in the Shed monitored and have his content reported and removed. And I will continue to get my man to download anything of significance and just continue to get it backed up for a rainy day. I appreciate this video. It's probably going to take a couple of listens for those of you who are interested in everything that's gone on in the last couple of years, but at least you've got my timeline of events for your own information or your own investigations. I personally believe that there's one person benefiting from all of the fallout on this platform. I do believe that there's people being paid. And I do believe that law enforcement is working within this part of YouTube. I think some are hiding in plain sight. And I'm going to say it again, I want no part in any of it anymore. I won't be appearing on any more podcasts to talk about these people or events. But all I've got to say is out there, keep watching the content. Drop us a sub if you haven't already. And be lucky, watch your back, and watch who you trust.